So in a world increasingly fractured by division, by fear and misunderstanding, there's really a profound need for healing and reconciliation, isn't there? And one of the most potent tools that we have at our disposal is the simple act of listening to each other. Listening, not merely hearing, but truly listening with open minds and hearts. It can serve as a balm for our troubled times. And it's through deep and intentional listening that we can bridge divides, we can foster understanding, and we can create a more peaceful and harmonious world. I witnessed that just this week when I attended the Pacific Southwest UU Ministers Conference in Los Angeles. And this annual gathering always provides a great opportunity to learn from colleagues and discuss ministry matters and see how much we all have in common. One minister told us about their congregation's long struggles with conflict, not something we have in common there, and how they had overcome deeply entrenched divisions. And apparently the main tool that they used to overcome their conflict was deep listening. Yeah. So first the facilitator came and met privately with leaders and influencers in the congregation for 1 to 6 hours each, listening individually to every person's story. And thanks to the facilitator's deep listening skills, not only was each person able to share their true feelings and concerns around the conflict, but everyone also started to have insights about their part in the conflict. And once all the main parties had been listened to individually, they came together in a group. And the group agreed to a covenant, as we do in Unitarian Universalism, a covenant of deep listening and respect before anyone spoke. So they committed to listening to one another with open hearts and curiosity, listening to understand rather than judge. They committed to acknowledging that there was perhaps no one right way and to look for their shared values and commonalities. So rather than proving themselves right, so easy to do, they sought to be open to different perspectives. And all of that created a climate of safety where one by one, leaders began telling their stories and acknowledging their part in the conflict. And as one after the next started sharing authentically and vulnerably about why they had behaved in the way they had, it opened the door for another to admit their conduct had perhaps not been optimal. And as they listened deeply to one another without reactivity, they began softening their hearts to one another. And gradually, people who'd been entrenched in conflict for years started to see one another in a completely new light. And they became aware of each other's humanity, of each other's hopes and hurts. And after that transformational circle, leaders started speaking out in services in front of the whole congregation, owning their part in the conflict and inviting others who wanted to share to come forward. And over time, many years of entrenched conflict in the congregation started to lose its power, and people grew closer and more loving. Old hurts were healed and new friendships were formed, and this deep listening literally transformed the congregation from an unhealthy, divided one to one where people care much more deeply for one another and understand each other better now. That, my friends, is the power of deep listening. But deep listening is probably not that easy, and it takes time and practice and intention. I needn't remind you all that tomorrow is the anniversary of the Hamas-led attack on Israel, and the struggles in the Middle East continue to escalate. It's an impossibly complex situation with so much pain and suffering for all. And as a community, we came together at the beginning of this year in an intentional listening circle focused around what was going on in Gaza. And we had people from all sides of the discussion. Those of you who were there will remember. But the goal was not to persuade each other with our opinions. Rather, we covenanted to listen deeply to one another, honoring each other's perspectives and experiences. And as people share the impact of the conflict on their personal lives, we began to understand one another more deeply and realize that there just are no simple solutions. Despite our differences, listening to one another deeply and really hearing each other across diverse opinions and backgrounds without trying to change each other brought us closer and helped us all understand the complexity of this conflict better. And I think that's one of the great gifts of being in a community such as this, even when we don't have the same views. We get to learn about one another and understand each other better despite our differences. And because of our common values around love, peace, and justice for all, we learn to expand our hearts across difference. And what a precious and unusual gift that is in these days, isn't it? Isn't it? Yeah. It's rare. We do something very rare and special here. Our current society is so focused on sound bites and social media and reactivity, and it encourages quick, thoughtless responses, expounding on our opinions and pitting us against one another. I don't need to tell you that we're divided and struggling in communities and across the nation right now, especially during this pre-election time. Just go to any school board meeting or turn on the news or comb through the various social media platforms and you'll find plenty of reactivity and shouting and discord and people making each other wrong. Anything but listening deeply, right? And one of the challenges of listening in such a fractured world is the temptation to get on that bandwagon of reaction and act defensively or dismiss other people's perspectives out of hand. We may feel the need to prove ourselves right or to protect our own views. However, if we can resist these impulses, just take a moment and approach listening with an open mind, we can begin to break down these barriers that divide us. What if every time we wanted to react, to fire off a response, make the other wrong, or say something in anger, we instead took a breath. Take a breath with me now. And we paused and centered ourselves. And then we tried to really listen to what is underneath what the other is saying. Not what's on the surface. What's the deeper water underneath? Because listening is a sacred act. And for us UUs, I'd say it's a spiritual practice that respects our values of generosity, interdependence, and transformation. It's a way of honoring the inherent worth and dignity of every individual you come across. And it's one of the ways we can put love into action, isn't it? When we listen to others, we create a space for our human siblings on earth to feel seen, heard, validated, and understood. Now, though quiet, listening is not passive. It requires effort and intention. Haven't you tried listening to somebody and you're so busy forming your opinions in your mind of what you're going to say back? It takes a lot of practice to sit and just listen and not plan your next move. It involves setting aside our own preconceptions and judgments and truly seeking to understand the other person's point of view, even if we disagree. And it means paying attention to their words, their tone of voice, and their body language. It's really about being present in the moment and offering someone else our full attention. our lovely Jill here shared a story at our worship team meeting about a clinical trial where the subjects were divided into groups that received compassionate witness and those that didn't. Compassionate witness is deep listening. It is hearing and acknowledging the pain, fear, and lived experiences reported by the patient. And the study illustrated the power of listening. Even among the placebo groups, the patients that received compassionate witness reported feeling better and demonstrated better outcomes. In fact, when I was awake at 2 this morning, I read an article on Oprah's new book, Build the Life You Want, The Art and Science of Getting Happier. And I'm like, I've got to put this in the sermon, because she says that one of the greatest gifts you can give to anybody is your full attention. All humans are looking to be validated. And listening more deeply turns out to be the number one takeaway from that book, apparently. I got to go get my coffee. According to Zen Master Thich Nhat Hanh, deep listening is the kind of listening that can help relieve the suffering of another person. You can call it compassionate listening. You listen only with one purpose: to help him or her empty his heart. Even if he says things that are full of wrong perceptions, full of bitterness, you are still capable of continuing to listen with compassion. Because you know that listening like that, you give that person a chance to suffer less. What a gift, right? And Psychology Today goes on to explain that central to these ways of defining deep listening is a sense of presence, inner stillness, openness, and mindful attention to what the other communicates in their body, speech, and silence. The great poet Rumi said, "Listen with your heart. It is the greatest gift you can give." Lao Tzu told us, "The greatest listener is the greatest teacher." And the Buddha said, "Speak little, listen much." Many religious teachers have talked about listening as a spiritual practice, not an easy one, but one that expands our hearts, our wisdom, and our capacity for peace. In fact, we practice that in our chalice circles, as well as many of our other small groups in this congregation. Has anyone here learned to listen more deeply through some of these small groups? It looks like a lot of us. These are intentional spaces for listening deeply. So how do we listen more deeply, you might be wondering? What are the skills that we actually need to cultivate? Here are some ideas. First of all, practice presence. When someone is speaking to you, give them your full attention. Put away distractions, your phones. Give them your full attention. Make eye contact. And show through your body language that you are engaged with what they're saying. Don't prepare your response while they're talking, but just listen to them. Secondly, reflect and clarify. So after someone has spoken, you might wish to repeat back what you've heard and ask clarifying questions if you need. Paraphrase what the other person has said to ensure your understanding of their perspective. Thirdly, and this is hard for some of us, suspend judgment. Resist the urge to judge or critique while listening. Allow the speaker to share their full experience before forming opinions and responses. Avoid making assumptions or jumping to conclusions about them. And then ask open-ended questions and be curious. Encourage the other person to share their thoughts and feelings and be curious and seek further clarification. You might say something like, "Tell me more about that." And then validate their feelings by acknowledging and respecting the other person's emotions. For example, "I see you're really upset by this." And finally, seek common ground. As you listen, look for shared values or goals finding common ground can help build bridges and foster collaboration. And I'll put these tools on our Facebook page if you want to revisit them, or you can email me and I'll send them to you. Or we're going to be practicing them this Wednesday at our spiritual practice class. So I hope you can join us for that at 6 o'clock, so we can actually put them into action together. Our wonderful psychologist just here, Grenda David, shared with me and the worship team that the two most common things that she hears in her practice are, I feel misunderstood and I don't feel heard. How many of you have ever felt that way? That's most of us. And that's how many people feel in their relationships, in families, or across our political divide. When people aren't heard, they feel helpless. And so they believe they need to react and express themselves more loudly. And not listening to one another is the source of most of our disagreements and even wars. But if we practice simple listening in the ways I've just described, we have the chance to build healing and connection. Theologian David Augsburger says, being heard is so close to being loved that for the average person, they are almost indistinguishable. Of course, we also need to listen more deeply within ourselves to be able to fully be present for another. When we listen deeply within, we acknowledge that our experiences, our beliefs and perspectives are unique and valuable. And we also hear a deeper wisdom. It's so easy to get swept up in the noise of our society, but unless we quiet the mind and reduce stimulation, it's almost impossible to hear our own deeper inner truths and to really allow the wisdom to bubble up from within. And as spiritually courageous folk, I believe it's our duty to listen more deeply within at this time so that we can be more peaceful in our interactions, to listen beyond the noise and stress to what is really, what we are really meant to be doing and saying and thinking. So we must make room for quiet in our lives. Now, my friends, I admit freely, I could be so much better at listening. I don't have this mastered. Do any of you? Too often I react, or I listen with judgment, or I rush to share my opinion. But I want to get better, because not only do I feel more connected to one another when I listen deeply, but I feel better in myself too, having truly heard someone. So I'm going to set myself a challenge this month, and I invite you to remind me that I set this challenge. At least once a day, I intend to listen more deeply, using reflective listening, curiosity, with presence and an open heart, rather than leaping to respond. Now, I'm going to have to be intentional about it and choose to do it when I might otherwise be reactive. And if that speaks to you, I invite you to join me in that challenge. Who here would be willing to join me in that challenge? Scott, you're like, oh, no, but okay. Thank you. And then perhaps we can share our experiences with one another and start to build a culture of deeper listening and care right here at Chalice. Wouldn't that be great? Especially during these tense pre-election days. This could be one of the most important acts of peace and love that we could offer our world. As we listen with intention and compassion, we align ourselves with the values of justice, generosity, and interdependence that are central to Unitarian Universalism. And it becomes a way of living out our faith in tangible, meaningful ways. In fact, it could be one of our most important spiritual practices. So will you join me in listening with open minds and hearts and using the power of listening to build a better future for all? Thank you. My friends, may we offer deep listening as a healing balm during these challenging times. May it be so.